Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. This is the newest episode of Challenge Mode. I don't have a script for this show yet, so I'm just winging it. This week, Thomas and Jimmy both decided to have real life shit to do, so I'm joined by my good friend, Nate. How's it going, Nate?
How's it going? Good, good, good.
Yeah, so Nate, real quick, you and I met at the Kind of Funny Kansas City meetup and... whenever that was, this year has been a fucking blur.
I know it all bleeds together, but yeah, we met in a bar in Kansas City for the Kind of Funny world tour meetup there. We also met at Updown the day before, and I gave you a bunch of tokens for Updown
that fucking have. I'm probably never gonna get rid of them either, which is bullshit, but you know how that goes.
I walked into that bar and I thought I was going to be there forever. So I got like $20 in tokens. And then, you know, maybe an hour later it was time to go. And I had just talked to people the whole night. And so yeah. I was like, well, I got these 20 tokens and I'm drunk. So this guy's got a cool mustache. So he's getting these tokens.
I mean, I'll take it. I mean,
like, and that mustache was you.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Like I have actually never paid for tokens at Updown. Now that I actually think about it, it's like something that just a Kansas City thing where you just kind of know someone who always has them lying around, or if you ever go out with someone, they're just like, yeah, I've got like 50,000 fucking tokens, and they're yep. like, cool fanny pack, you know, but yeah.
Absolutely.
So but yeah, I thought it would be a kind of a fun time, kind of topical. E3 just kind of wrapped up last week as of this recording, and as of the time this goes live, which would be this Saturday. And I thought it would be fun to just kind of go through and talk about our quote favorite, I'm going with memorable E3 moments just throughout the years and the history of the show, because not all of them are great. Some of them right. are just straight up bad, but
some would say most E3s are just kind of bad in general with a little bit of really cool stuff sprinkled in, and that's right. what makes it magical. Right.
That's it's like I'm always just a big fan of just the ridiculous spectacle, and as terrible as it sounds, just kind of watching people just fall flat on their face with like thinking all these like executives and their like senior marketing teams who are like really out of touch are just like, yeah, like this is totally going to land. And it just absolutely does not.
Yeah, I was going to make the analogy that, you know, you're doing a crazy gymnastics routine and you have to stick the landing,
100%.
Or, you know, you have to get 10 out of 10 or it's probably going to be regarded as a 0 out of 10 by most viewers.
Right, right. And like, it's also kind of weird to think about that. I've always wondered if sometimes those companies are like these like bigwigs are always wanting it to kind of fail, because then more people are going to be talking about like whatever the hell that was.
Yeah. And I mean, when we get into, you know, some of the moments and stuff that we're going to talk about, I mean, some would say that, you know, some famous like onstage flubs were on purpose to either show you, oh, hey, this game is actually real and not a CG, you know, cutscene, or, you know, oh, like, you know, this person really said this thing that weird just so that it would be memeable and memorable and, mm-hmm. and you know, conspiracy theories, man.
I mean, yeah, like it's just pretty wild. So I kind of wanted to start with one of my kind of favorite moments from recent memory was, man, I don't remember the year. I think it might have been 2013. It was at Sony's conference. It was them showing off the PS4. And then they just go to that splash screen of, hey, you can play used games on our system.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
they like put out that video with Adam Boyes and Shuhei Yoshida saying, this is how you share games. And they just hand him a copy of whatever game that was. I was fucking dying. That shit was absolutely hysterical.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, that whole year, the X-Bone had been completely shitting the bed
right,
with its introduction of just, you know, hey, TV, 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 Xbox, go home, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, turns out consumers really didn't want that at all. So all Sony had to do was show up and be like, hey, you can hand a game to your friend and the crowd goes wild.
Yeah. Oh, that was, I still will like go through and watch just like reaction videos to that. Just check out people just being like, oh shit, like they really kind of went there. Cause yeah, like you don't expect a major technology corporation with this big kind of social presence that Sony has, just being like, hey, we're not that. What's up? Buy our shit,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's exactly
absolutely.
What they were doing. Like they could have easily, if that was just the entire conference, I feel like people still would have said, yeah, you guys totally won. I'm going to buy your thing. Cause
yeah,
at the time, that was a big deal.
Yeah, going into, you know, this next console generation too, I hope that's the Sony that we're getting is the, you know, like, you know, hey, we're one of you guys, and it doesn't dip too far into the, you know, what's up, fellow teens,
right,
sort
right.
of thing, because, you know, they have the capability to be like, you know, a good, strong force with a good marketing campaign behind mm-hmm. them and stuff like that. But, you know, we'll see if they go back to early PS3 kind of attitudes.
I'm pretty hopeful, but also you never really know for sure. Like, these big companies and these big corporations are obviously super complex things with hundreds, if not maybe thousands of people sometimes working on a certain thing. And it's just kind of weird to try and put all that stuff together, and you never really know what you're gonna get, you know.
Yeah, it can switch in a single press conference, a single, you know, direct or inside right. Xbox, whatever you want to call it, you right. know, they can switch gears completely, which actually is one of my first moments is the Xbox One shifting gears in 2015 and adding backwards compatibility.
Yeah, that was a pretty big one.
Sort of a, I don't know if I want to say mea culpa, but saying like, hey guys, so we've been working for 2 years and we heard that you don't like our big bad camera that we put on top of your TV that maybe spies on you. So how about you play Xbox 360 games? How about that, you guys?
Yeah, maybe you guys might like to play video games on your box that we promise isn't spying on you.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was really cool because, you know, I think this entire generation, if you know nothing else, Microsoft has been able to iterate and you know, like I said, switch gears to say, oh, you guys didn't like that, okay, or you guys did like that, okay. You know, if you even look at how many iterations of the Xbox One controller there was from the beginning, like I happen to have a day one Xbox, and mm-hmm. you know, that controller doesn't have a headphone jack on it. And then they came out with the,
controllers.
Yeah, they came out with the controllers with the headphone jack on it. And then they came out with maybe one other iteration, but then another one was they added Bluetooth. So you didn't need to have like a dongle into your PC if you want to, you know, just play on PC. And, you know, they're coming out with their second iteration of the Elite controller. So they are, you know, and how many different Xboxes have we had? Now we're on the third one of this cycle.
They've just been pumping out different models of that thing.
Yeah. And, you know, so that moment in 2015 is sort of a small moment now. And of course, you know, backwards compatibility is sort of like, you know, their bread and butter right now. And, mm-hmm. you know, saying, hey, you know, our next system is going to be fully backwards compatible too. In fact, it's just compatible is what we're going to say.
Yeah.
So going back to 2015, you know, I'm not even an Xbox fanboy, but I just enjoy that they're willing to, you know, kind of right the ship when things get a little nasty or, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember watching that or like seeing that pop up because I think I was at work at the time. Sorry, boss, in college. and I just had like the Twitch stream up while the press conferences were running for the day. And I remember seeing just backwards compatibility show up. And I was like in the middle of a call working with somebody. And I like had to mute the call. And I just like leaned over to this dude who was sitting next to me. And I'm just like, hey, Xbox ain't fucking around anymore.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that was a big deal. And I don't think anybody expected that considering their track record for the past couple of years before that, you know?
No, yeah. But I think everybody was kind of buckled in to like, all right, what stupid, you know, game are you going to make me look at this camera with? Or, you know,
and
this gigantic
like,
VCR
up to that
console.
Point, like, Microsoft hadn't really had a super strong E3 conference with the Xbox One being the primary focus.
No. Yeah.
So I was really, really impressed by that. That's definitely a really good pick. I think Phil Spencer's doing great, great stuff over there.
Yeah. I mean, he's gone on record as basically, well, I don't know if it's on record, but people that work with him say like, yeah, he would have it that every game they make goes on every platform available. Mm-hmm. Like that's what he wants. And so I think we're going to get more, you know, peak Phil Spencer in the next 1 to 3 years here. And we'll see how open their development and platform is really going to be.
Yeah. I don't know if you watch the Giant Bomb E3 like at night shows that they do, but every year he does an interview with Phil Spencer. And it's always mm-hmm. one of my favorite things to kind of check out. And this year, like his big point was just like, yeah, like I want to make sure that I don't really like, I just want, like, gaming as a whole. Are we doing, like, a good service for, like, the industry and games as a whole? And also, he wanted to make sure that people, like, if you buy this game, we want to try and honor that purchase the best way we can. So you don't have to get into, like, okay, well, I have this game, I have a bunch of PS3 games, and now I just cannot play them on my PS4, and I'd have to, like, pull out my PS3, because all of that kind of debacle. So it was, like, really nice to see them put in that work to be very consumer and kind of gamer focused if they're really trying to raise the bar and for everyone around. Those were some words. I'm a little tired. It was a rough day at work. Yeah. So, my next one is, it's a good one for me. I don't think it's a good one for just about anybody else. The infamous Konami 2010 E3 press conference, just all of it, the entire fucking thing. I don't know if you've seen this, Nate.
So, okay. I have heard about this, and I know about the, like, the Contra trailer that wasn't a trailer, that was just a logo that said they're coming, and then there was never a game that went along with that. That's all I know about this particular one. This is a little bit of a blind spot for me. So enlighten me.
I don't even know if there was, I don't even think there was actually a Contra at this one. This was 2010. I think that other one was, like, sort of more recent, but I could be completely wrong. So this one was, like, an actual, like, they had a podium, they had an audience, they had, like, an actual full on press conference. And it was the wildest shit I have ever seen in my entire life. Like, if you told me that this was a fucking Tim and Eric sketch, I would 100% believe you.
Excellent.
So I really recommend that you and really anybody else that is listening to this, the literally dozens of you, go check this out. It's a time. There's a lot of pretty good memes that were kind of spawned from it. They announced that game 99 Nights at this show.
Oh, yeah.
And the dude just had the weirdest delivery. Like, he was trying to kind of be cool, but he also didn't really speak, like, his English was kind of very broken. I don't think he had a translator, but man, it just, he says the phrase, like, if you, like, just try and button mash, you know, like XXXYYY, you get sucked. I'm like, okay, sure. All right. Yeah. Like, I'm kind of with you. There's some other, like, just really bizarre choices for that conference. And, like, the big culmination was whenever they showed off, I think, a wrestling game, and they had, like, wrestlers fighting behind the person presenting.
Oh, no.
It's incredible. It is on YouTube. You can totally find, like, a highlight reel of it. It's honestly entirely worth your time. It is.
Yeah. This is basically like a Devolver Digital E3, but they meant it.
Yeah, no, totally. It, without the ridiculous violence, of course. But no, like,
I mean, you said there was, like, wrestlers.
Well, there's no, like, blood or anything, right, like that. Right, it's not like Devolver level. But you get to the point where, like, it just seems so weird. And, like, just the observation of it, because if you just, like, look at it and you don't know what's actually happening and you're not paying attention, then you see, okay, well, there's this, like, really professional looking curtain. It looks like they booked, like, a really nice conference room. They've got this nice podium. And then there's just, like, this dude talking about a game with, like, a referee and two, like, large wrestlers just fighting behind him. It looks like
it's unrelated.
Right. It looks like a fighting match, like, way in is happening, like, right behind them.
It's so interesting when, you know, a company completely whiffs it and, like, instantly you're like, oh, man, this is going to be really bad for the whole thing, huh? And, like, you can just tell that they don't. Somebody who put this together, like, fundamentally did not get it.
Right.
what E3 is, what press conferences are, you know, and just from the inception to the organization of it to the execution of it, it's just like, oh man, this didn't even look good on paper.
Yeah. And I mean, if I were to pick a company who would do that, it would be Konami. Like, looking back, you know, they just kind of fell off of kind of doing everything but pachinko machines and, like, mobile games, you know.
Can you imagine if they were like, okay, hey, actually, we're going to do a press conference next year?
Oh, like, God, I would be fucking here for it. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Like, I, ooh, They had, like, I think the only thing they could do now to make people even just not be mad at them so much, mm-hmm. like these Contra like re-releases and Castlevania re-releases are one thing, but they would literally have to get like Blue Point Studios to do a Fox Engine like Metal Gear Solid 3.
Right, yeah.
And then people would be like, okay, we are neutral now.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you have...
We're not good, we're neutral.
You have not regained our respect, but you're not in the negative anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's mine for that one. That's honestly probably, like, looking at this list that I put together, I think going back, that's just, like, my favorite E3 moment to kind of just, you know, like, just shoot my shot immediately. But I really wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay, so one of my favorite ones... is I have a history of watching E3 while at work, like mm-hmm. Let's see, or just in weird places. This year was actually the first year ever that I was able to like be at home and watch the entirety of E3. Mm-hmm. But let's see, let's go. Okay, so I was on a bus. I was on a mega bus because I was internet dating this girl, and mm-hmm. I still am, but not internet in real life. Ooh. But this is when I lived in Michigan, and she lived and lives, and now I live in Lincoln, Nebraska. So taking a bus from Lansing, Michigan to Lincoln, Nebraska takes like basically 2 days, and you have to stop in Chicago for part of it.
That sounds genuinely horrible. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Oh yeah, it was. And basically the entirety of 2015's E3 was spent on a bus. So the Year of Dreams, the Final Fantasy VII remake, mm-hmm. the Last Guardian, the Shenmue 3, that huge thing. I was just on a bus in the middle of like Idaho, or Iowa rather, losing my fucking mind about Final Fantasy VII. And I guess I, like, you know, so much has been said about, you know, like, about how cool that year was and how, you know, Sony really did it. But, you know, looking back, they kind of didn't do it.
Yeah,
for Shenmue, they announced a Kickstarter.
That felt weird.
It was like, okay, but wait, what? You are Sony. You make make laptops and phones.
It was very much just like, hey, look at this cool thing. Fuck you. Pay for it.
Yeah, we want $1 million. Fuck you.
Right.
And, you know, I personally am a Last Guardian apologist because I have trained a dog before, and I can attest that playing the Last Guardian is exactly like meeting a dog and trying to train it to like jump on stuff from day one.
Yeah, you are not wrong in that regard at all.
But you know, a lot of people would say that game flopped and that because it was in development hell. And mm-hmm. I think that it was probably designed to be difficult to control on purpose, but you know, that doesn't really make for a good crowd pleasing video game.
That doesn't equate then, dollars for sure.
Exactly. And then, you know, Final Fantasy VII Remake, which you arguably had its first E3 for real a couple days ago.
Right. So, yeah, like they talked about it and then just went completely radio silent.
Yeah, because they had to restart the game. They they had to restart it and just be like, whoops, sorry, actually we're gonna try and make a game instead of just make like a CG cutscene. And so yeah, I think that, you know, looking back, it was like, oh my God, they're doing so much. But if you look at it mm-hmm. in 2019, looking back on it, it's like, well, they actually didn't do all that much. But the hype of it was super duper, super duper, super duper.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you in that. It is just wild to me that one of my co-hosts, Thomas, he always mm-hmm. talks about his favorite thing is whenever a game gets announced and then it comes out within that year or within a few months. Like, I'm all about like building the hype cycle. Like him and I are at exact odds with how Death Stranding was marketed. Like, he's just like, I don't care. Just show it to me whenever it is almost ready. And I'm just like, give it to me. I don't fucking care what it is.
I'm more on your side where it's like, yeah, give me Kojima walking down a lighted staircase that lights up with his feet.
That's the
like
most Kojima ass bullshit I can think of.
Yeah, I'm just an art school fuck, and I enjoy all that sort of stuff. And now, you know, I'm glad that we're, you know, again, arguably this was its first E3, even though it wasn't really mm-hmm. at E3. The trailer came out somewhat before, but this is, you know, the real coming out party of like, okay, so here's the game. You're this guy. You run around. Die Hard Man is here.
Yep.
And let's go this November.
Yeah, no, I did not expect that game to be like, hey, what's coming out in November? I pictured that to be like the last of like the last big four. Like, just he's going to take for fucking ever to work on it because that's his MO. But
yeah, he could have said 2021 and I would have been like, yeah, all right, that sounds about right.
Right, right. Kojima is the only fucking person that could, like, his studio, not to take away from like everybody else that worked on this game, obviously, but
his
studio and like the stuff that he has direction over. The only people that could drop a 9-minute trailer and I'd be like, fuck yeah, just give me all of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm literally looking right now at my Metal Gear Solid 5, the Phantom Pain, like, art book and yeah. like figure collection and special edition, like, mechanical hand thing, like, that came with it.
God, what a fucking nerd.
I know, for sure. but, like, that game took, I think, 7 years to make. And so you think about the timeline of things for mm-hmm. Death Stranding and you're like, okay, no, this makes sense for it, you know, coming out 2020, 2021. But then you think, oh, like, he didn't have to make the engine from scratch and he didn't have to work for a company that was basically on fire the entire time. So,
right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, he was just working on the game. There were, like, fucking wrestlers in the background of his studio. It was fucking weird.
Exactly. But, yeah, I got a little bit off topic. But, yeah, no, that 2015 E3 while I was on a bus was a weird moment for me.
That
but I really liked it.
A personal moment for sure. That is interesting. Yeah, obviously do not have that on my list. I was at my house. It was great. I was on my couch. It was awesome. So I have for the next one kind of going a lot of mine are like sort of negative, but they have just like a lot of charm. Like I think that E3 wouldn't be the same historically without them. And I have Mr. Caffeine.
So this is another blind spot of mine. And I was going to watch a video of it because I was like, you know what? I've heard about this so much. Mm-hmm. But last night I was in bed putting together my list and I couldn't watch a video with sound. So you're going to have to either tell me about it or we're going to have to take a break so I can watch it.
So Mr. Caffeine was, I think he only did one of the E3 press conferences for Ubisoft.
That explains why I didn't know.
And it's like peak Ubisoft kind of weird, almost cringy bullshit.
Almost cringy?
Oh, no, it's very cringy. but like you get I think he's like a staple around Ubisoft. Like there's somebody he's like somebody internally. Our other co-host, Jimmy, he, I believe, used to manage a GameStop. I might be wrong about that. Sorry, Jimmy. but he would go to like all of those like GameStop manager like showcases that they'd always do. And I guess that Mr. Caffeine 1 year presented at it.
Okay. And so it's a man that is known as Mr. Caffeine.
So he's
joke.
Like Mr. Caffeine because he's like always super energetic and he's got this weird, like you kind of are picking up on it.
Yep.
But he also did this weird thing where they were trying to like, it was like a big Ubisoft anniversary. I don't remember which one it was, but they said, oh, well, how would this game look if it was made back in time? And then he would always do this weird sound effect that went a little something like this. But he did like a hand thing that you obviously can't see.
So like Wayne's World shit?
Kind of, but bad.
Okay.
If Wayne's World was bad and also just him. that was kind of the first year that I realized, oh, Ubisoft is up to some bullshit, aren't they?
They can be. I think there's, you know, I think there's little glimmers of like, hey, we make good games and we don't kill our devs to make those games.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're generally, you can trust us to give you a 7 or 8 out of 10.
Sure.
But then at these conferences, it's just like, what about a panda in and then they dance again and it's for the Nintendo Wii in 2019. What
All
about
right.
that?
So real talk, that part was fucking awesome. You watch your mouth. I was here for that. Like the Just Dance bits, I don't have that written down, but they're always just like something I kind of look forward to. It's just like E3 would not be the same without it, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's even just for this year, like, I think this may have been the first time that somebody has announced a game for a platform, not the platform that came after it, but the platform that came after that.
Yeah.
Like, it's coming out for the Wii and the Switch, but not the Wii U.
I think it might have been the same last year, but I could be wrong.
I think it came out for the Wii U last year, but I mean, that we're splitting hairs at this point.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Ultimately, it does not matter. Welcome to podcasting about video games. Yeah,
exactly. Welcome to the Just Dance podcast.
It's just us waving our phones for like 45 fucking minutes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I got there. Like, Mr. Caffeine, like, I could go into more, but I really don't think I can, like, reach the level of energy, or I don't want to. I think it's mostly that.
So you are not Mr. Caffeine.
I am okay with that. I'm all right with that.
Okay, so okay, I'll go with this one for the next one. It's a weird one, but it's 1995 was insane. I'll just do 1995 as its own sort of thing.
Okay.
But so 1995 was the year where the Sega Saturn Phantom dropped.
Yes, yeah, you remember that. Obviously, I don't. I was like two, but
right. I was five. So I don't remember it either. But like going back and looking at it, it's just like, whoa, you guys, like, why did you think that would be? I literally have it in parentheses, bad flex, but okay. because they were like, all right, so, you know, our new console that we've only shown like four games for, because, you know, everything's still in development. Mm-hmm. It's going to come out later, and they talk about it, and then it's just like, and it's available now. And people are like, what? We're all here at E3. Like, you want us and the stores were like, we don't have these. And the developers were like, there are no games. And so, like, on paper, it seems like this, like, whoa, super duper hype moment.
Right.
And then in practice, it's just like, no, you guys just did a bad thing.
Yeah. Like, maybe think about that a little bit more. But I mean, Sega at the time, that also kind of checked out.
Well, there was, you know, to boil it down super duper, it's like Sega of Japan and Sega of America were basically fighting between each other of who was the dominant force. And it turns out neither of them in the end, because, you know, I don't know, that they wanted the Saturn to succeed. And then, you know, they were like still working on like Sega Genesis iterations at that point.
Yeah.
What weird Frankenstein thing were they going to plug into it? And then at the same time, it's like, okay, no, in a couple years, we're actually going to do the Dreamcast and then discontinue it in like 2 years. But C-Man, everybody, C-Man.
I mean, yeah, sure.
But yeah, so basically, also, I think 1995 was the year when Sony they got their first of three correct price announcements out of four that they did, where they went up to the podium and were like, they literally just said $299, and that was it, because everybody was wondering what the PlayStation's cost was going to be. And so everybody thought it was going to be like way expensive, but then, you know, it turns out $299. And I said, sort of like I said before, Sony got the price right three out of four times, but man, they messed up that one time.
Oh yeah.
So sort of thinking about this, the $599.
That is on my list for sure. Just that whole fucking conference. Well,
let's get into it. Let's get into it then.
Boy, howdy.
Go ahead.
Just like it's kind of the same thing as the Konami one for me. It's incredibly memeable, you know.
It's so tone deaf, the whole thing.
Oh, 100%. Like, they for sure like got like they took the success of the PlayStation 1 and then the PS2 right after that and just were like, we are the hottest shit on the planet. You will buy anything with our name on it. And that is clearly not the case.
Yeah, they wanted people to get a second job to
PS3. Like, come on. The only like good thing that thing had going for it was that it picked Blu-ray and that it was like the most affordable Blu-ray player on the market at the time. But because
Blu-ray is a Sony thing, so like, of course it's going to be cheaper and they're going to go with it, right? So it's like, I don't even know if you can praise them for that. It's like, you use the thing you made. So as for another like personal moment of me watching E3 at a place that isn't a couch or a computer, I was at my accounting job when 2018's Nintendo E3 press conference was live, and I had to stop myself from standing up and screaming when they did the everyone is here moment for Smash. And, you know, I don't have to tell you or anybody listening to this how like special that was and how like much of a signal of like, hey, kids, it's going to be OK. Your big dad Snake is here and he's ready to fight. He's ready to fight his weird friend Pichu. Let's go, everybody. So I don't really have too much to elaborate on it, but like just the everyone is here moment. You can look up, you know, reaction videos all over YouTube of people like losing their fucking mind.
Even just like thinking about just like seeing Snake just appear out of his cloak, I'm just like starting to get fucking goosebumps, and I'm like, oh fuck, let's fucking go.
Dad's here, let's go.
Yeah, I
dad's
had
home
a,
from his work trip.
So last year I actually took off work for all of E3 and brought my best friend from back home up to Kansas City, and we just watched all the conferences together, and it was like a really fun, cool thing that we got to do. And we are both like pretty big Nintendo fans. We're both like pretty big Smash fans. He's kind of lapsed, but he's also one of those people that just like, man, I don't really care too much about Smash, but every time a new one gets announced, he's like, let's fucking go. But I remember like we were just sitting there watching that, and then just seeing the everyone is here. Like, I remember both of us just like the noises of us just going like, holy fuck, just like losing our goddamn minds. Like, that was really, really cool. And this was also like big for me. I never actually owned a Smash before Ultimate. I never owned a Nintendo system that could actually play it.
Oh, okay.
And so I just, it was really big for me that I was like, okay, cool. Like it felt like that I didn't actually miss out on anything, because I just got all of that stuff that I had like played so much at other friends' houses, you know?
Yeah, you were here for this one. Everyone is here, included you.
Yeah, totally. I remember freaking the fuck out whenever they announced it back at that like direct, the February of that year. Like that
was like, with the squids.
Oh my god, that was so good.
Yeah.
I firmly believe that there is like no game or like studio or whatever you want to call it that does hype and builds that hype cycle as well as like the Smash Bros. Team.
Yeah, and I think a lot of what they do well is they keep things secret.
Right.
You know, they have to do these deals where, you know, before the everyone is here moment, the most hyped thing I think they ever did was announce Cloud at a direct. Mm-hmm. That was the moment where I think everything opened up and it's like, oh shit, anything is possible.
There are zero rules anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember I was watching that with my girlfriend at that direct. I was watching with my girlfriend at my house in Michigan, and like she was doing something else and I was watching TV and like watching that happen. I was just like losing my mind, because like once I saw the stars like and the like, you know, the Final Fantasy VII music hitting, I was like, no, they're not going to do it. Oh, my God,
doing it.
Yeah. So,
yeah, like it was kind of the same way for me with I guess we're just talking about Smash reveals now.
OK,
whenever I had my girlfriend and a friend of ours over and we just watched the Game Awards last year. And this was the night before Ultimate came out. So I was like, it was preloaded. I was ready to fucking go. Like, I was fully anticipating staying up till like 4 in the fucking morning and then still going to work the next day, because I didn't want to be that guy that took time off on Smash Bros. Day, you know? But we were watching that, and I didn't expect them to do like a DLC announcement, because like the game's not even out yet, you know, whatever. And then they fucking roll into a Persona trailer, and then you like just see him like grab the envelope and it's a fucking Smash invitation, and like we lost our fucking minds. I'm pretty sure our neighbors thought somebody was getting murdered.
Yeah, like,
it was,
I mean,
really, really, really cool. And at that point I'm just like, fuck it, I don't know what's happening anymore, and I am along for this ride.
Well, yeah, like I'm not a Persona fan, but like, you know, it's the same thing with, I think, a lot of the people that, you know, didn't really play Banjo-Kazooie, but Banjo being in Smash now is so huge, because it's just like, oh my god, I didn't expect that. Like, oh crazy, what a weird, unique character to show up in this game, you know. And it's that sort of thing with Cloud, where it's like, you know, anything can anything can happen. Nothing's off limits. Even a game that's probably never going to come to Switch is, you know, getting a character in there. He's not really, like, Joker isn't really a part of gaming history. I mean, Persona 5 sold pretty well, but not like, you know, smash crazy numbers.
Sure, yeah.
But it was just like, you know, Sakurai loves Persona games, and, you know, there's a huge fan base for Persona, so why shouldn't he be in the game?
Right. And I think he's a fun character. Like, I'm obviously super into all of the, like, cool fan servicey shit they did, like all the music, and having that in Smash is, like, a really big deal for me. But I think like, just having your character in Smash is, like, some sort of validation. I've always likened Smash Bros. Just as a whole to, like, this kind of video game hall of fame.
And yeah, if, like, it's a museum.
You're in. Yeah, totally. And I think that's really cool that with these recent ones that they're really kind of reaching outside of what you would normally expect.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still holding out hope for Shovel Knight, but we'll
see.
That
would be pretty fucking rad.
Honestly, at this point,
who fucking knows? There is now a non-zero chance we get fucking Goku. So
Exactly. You know? Oh my god. Yeah. Well, and this is just the first batch of DLC. I'm thinking that they're gonna just keep coming out with DLC.
God, I would just use this as a platform and just like, this is the last one, but we're just gonna keep adding shit to it, and it eventually hits like League of Legends style character amounts.
That way you don't have to, you know, pay Konami money to use Snake in, you know, Super Smash Brothers forever or whatever. You know, you can. I mean, I used forever as a title, not as in, you know, paying forever. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 So E3.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the next one I had. Oh, what's up?
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. Oh,
OK. The next one I have is another awkward moment. Those kind of really resonate with me. It was Bethesda last year. I think it was last year whenever they had Andrew W.K. come out. And
hell yeah.
I love Andrew W.K. He's great. His music's great. Yeah. He knows how to party. But just like it's just a little small thing for me. And it's another one of those just what are you guys doing? You know, of just seeing him and his band just get the fuck down and like bring the house down. And then it just like just immediately like hard cuts over to a shot of someone in the audience that's just like completely dead stone faced. I'm just like, come on, man.
Well, you better get ready to die. That's right. Yeah, I have a weird connection to that because I know one of the guitarists, Amanda, who's in Andrew WK's live band.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know that she was going to be at E3. And so like, they're like, welcome to the stage, Andrew WK. And I'd be like, oh man, you know, it would be so crazy if the whole band was there. It's like, oh wait, shit. The whole band is there. Oh my God. I know that person. Oh my God. So, and like that moment gets a lot of flack. And I mean, I would even give it flack because I think it was maybe not like the best decision to like have a bunch of people sitting down and watching Andrew WK.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, I don't know, like I like fun. I like I like weird fun. And like, you know, Andrew WK showing up and playing You Better Get Ready to Die about this video game that probably actually nobody cares about is funny and fun. And it's like it's true to Bethesda. It's true to Rage 2. It's true to Andrew WK. Like it's just so like pure them that how can you hate that?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like it just, it's fun. Like you said, it's just, it is, I had a lot of fun watching it. Like obviously I think it would have been weird in that just kind of environment if I was there, but it was cool. Yeah. Like I was just like, fuck yeah, this song fucking jam.
It's better than a CG trailer for a game that's never going to be as good as the CG trailer makes it out to be anyway, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So, all right,
so what you got next?
How about a French man crying in 2017?
Tell me about it.
So, in 2017's E3, well, before that we had been hearing rumblings about a Rabbids crossover game with Mario where Mario shoots a gun and nobody wanted that. Everybody was kind of hating on it. And, you know, we had seen art, of it leak and information about it leak and everybody was ready to hate this game. And then it looked good and it looked polished and Miyamoto got on stage with Yves Guillemot and held a weird fake gun, and Miyamoto said to Davide Soliani that he really loved his game, and he started crying in the crowd, and it was like this weird human moment of like, yeah, you did good.
I mean, yeah, I mean, wouldn't you cry if he told you if he liked your game? Like, I certainly fucking would.
No, it was just this like pure moment of. And this is ultimately why, like, I try to be as snark free as possible when it comes to E3, because especially with, mm-hmm. you know, hearing leaked things beforehand and all that sort of stuff, like, I'm going to reserve my judgment for the actual, you know, showing of the game that they want to do, because, you know, I want every game director to be, you know, Davide Soliani crying because, you know, oh, they really like my game. Oh, shit. Cool. You know, I don't want to be, you know, oh, a Rabbids game. Who wants that? Turns out like a lot of people, because it sold really well and it's incredible. Like, it's incredibly deep. Like, you can play it for forever. They came out with awesome DLC. Grant Kirkhope did the music. He's the man.
Yeah, fucking Grant Kirkhope, man. Like I you could tell me that it's just this weird game that like has nothing to do with anything that I'm ever interested in, but if he's doing the soundtrack, I'm like, cool, where can I pre-order it? Like, just give it to me right now.
Yeah, so that's a short one, but you know, just that sort of thing of like a cool human moment at E3. I always look out for those, because you know, anybody can put a gamer shirt and a shitty bomber jacket and some jeans on and talk about teraflops on a stage. But if you get a French man sitting down and crying, it turns out it makes your conference way better. So take that.
Yeah, turns out if you let people be actual people instead of just corporations, yeah, take that, it's Mr. great. Caffeine. Yeah, what's up? He probably makes more money than I ever will in my entire life. Anyway, moving on. So mine was something that I kind of expected there to be a little bit more fanfare to. It was one of the Sony shows. I think it was the same one where Kojima walked down the staircase of light. That was just a fucking banger after banger show. But mine was whenever they just like walk out. It was the one with the live orchestra.
Yes.
I think that was 2016. And they walked out and like, you just hear the fucking Crash Bandicoot music start playing, and I'm like, fuck, seriously, like, they're gonna do this? I was like straight up losing my mind. Not quite as much as like a Tim Gettys level of freak out, but man, like, I just like, I heard that music, and then I like saw people like start to get it, and then he just like walks out on stage and just like stands there, and he's just like, yeah it's happening. I'm like, yeah, bless you, Sean Layden. I was like fucking almost bawling whenever they announced that.
It may have not gotten as much hype as maybe you think it deserved, because it was just for the remasters. And while, you know, those are huge and the remasters were really, really well done, I think that a lot of people were maybe hoping for a new game. But, you know, they had to do these remasters to sort of test the audience to see like, hey, should we put millions of dollars in this, or is this going to be a medieval? Like, does anybody actually care?
I mean,
okay, I'm sorry.
But that's another point.
So my next big moment is the medieval reveal. Like, no.
It was just this like really cool thing, and it was kind of fun to see like just the natural culmination of him kind of hinting at that, where he wore a fucking Crash Bandicoot t-shirt to a PSX. Like, it was just a really neat moment, and like, I straight up never expected something like that to ever happen, just because every time something like that, or even like the PlayStation All-Stars, like, they weren't able to get Crash and Spyro, and they had to like lean on their third parties, which kind of ultimately made it feel a little more diluted in terms of.
They couldn't
of
even
what you
get Snake
expect.
For that one either. They had to get Raiden.
right.
So it's like, yeah, you got Raiden and Fat Princess. Like, okay, everybody's favorites.
Yeah. Like, I mean, sure. I mean, I got Spike from Ape Escape. Like, that was good with me, you know, but it felt weird without like the two like mascots of the time for your system that everybody kind of associates with PlayStation, even though they have absolutely nothing to do with it anymore.
When the rights are separated like that, and you have to like try to do deals to get it done. But I mean, it speaks to, you know, how special it is when they can, you know, wrangle up the rights together to get timed exclusivity, at least for PlayStation, and, you know, have, you know, people right. like you lose their mind because, like, oh my God, like, I remember playing this when I was a kid, and like, oh, now I'm going to play it again, and it's probably going to be way harder than I remember it being, but you know what?
Like, at the time, before they even announced it, like, I had the Warp Room, like, lobby music set as my fucking ringtone. Like, I was just like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, I had no idea this was coming, and it's just like, oh, like, this is real. And then I remember just, like, I, whenever that came out, like, I bought a physical copy of it, and it just felt like kind of right, because I also got my friend's 20th anniversary PlayStation 4 controller. Mm-hmm. So, like, the one that's gray with, like, all the symbols and mm-hmm. looks like a PS1 controller. I was just, like, sitting there playing it, and I was like, you know, this feels really good. And it was just kind of, like, a really nice moment in my life that I just kind of look on fondly. And then it was really good. And as of the time this goes live, Crash Team Racing's remake is going to be out, which means they can just stop making video games because we've already hit the fucking peak.
Yeah, I have never played Crash Team Racing, so...
it is.
I'm going to grab it on the Switch, good. I think, and... give it a go.
Yeah, before Mario Kart 8 came out, I would say it is the best kart racing game, but that's right. also me being very opinionated about that for sure. I think it's miles above what like Mario Kart 64 sure. was yeah. doing at the time, but it didn't have kind of the appeal
right
of
yeah definitely
Mario,
and you know? I don't have any sort of familiarity with Crash characters really, other than, you know, Crash, and I think I probably could pick out who Cortex is, but you know, I
yeah, sure.
like weird goofy fun games, so like, let's go.
Yeah, I think you'll really
oh hell
you
yeah
racing. Okay, you will fucking good. Love Crash Team Racing because that was their main inspiration good. For it. It's got like a full ass adventure mode that you can play, like all that wonderful shit. It's
Where's
really
Diddy Kong Racing?
Good.
We need another one of those.
Where the
I mean,
fuck is Diddy Kong Racing?
It would have to be, you know, a Rare and like Nintendo collab, but like,
I mean,
I know,
that's possible
I know,
now is the cool thing. Like, that's a working relationship again,
I need
which
it.
Is awesome.
Or even if it's just going to be a spiritual successor, I need it in my life.
Well, you should you should play Crash Team Racing because that, for the time being, might be the closest we get.
Okay.
So yeah, that's mine.
So
what you got.
Speaking of 2016 and the orchestra, I'm going to talk about God of War.
Bruh, that was so good.
I did not care about God of War at all until 2016's E3.
Same I,
it's,
here.
It's,
oh my
it's,
god!
You know, tired territory by now for people to talk about it this way, but you know, Kratos, who cares? You know, he has sex on the bed in the first level, and you get the orbs, and then he yells, and then he cuts the big snake monster, and that's the video game God of War. And then they made like 9 of them, and I was done with it. I had played one or two of them, and was like, yeah, this is definitely a video game. He pushes blocks around that, you know, checks that box, like, great, good. But then they, and so since I wasn't super familiar with God of War, when they started playing God of War music with the orchestra, I didn't know what it was. So I was just like, this is one hell of a prelude. This is setting the fucking tone. What are they going to be doing?
Yeah, are they about to like fucking just set the entire auditorium on fire? Like,
yeah,
what's happening?
So I was
here?
Like, it just the energy just kept rising and rising, and the guy that actually kind of looks like you that was conducting was
yeah.
He was like,
it's like, oh shit, that's gonna be me in like 30 years.
It was
fuck
just
yeah.
It was so powerful, and then like then the trailer starts, and then you know, you see Kratos walk through the door, and he's like, I am hungry, or whatever the fuck he says.
Oh god, that
and
was
it's just
really
like,
fucking cool.
Oh, okay. And then they did the gameplay demo of it, and it's just like, oh shit, I think I'm gonna love this. Like, I had my concerns that it was just gonna be like Last of Us with maybe some trolls in it instead of, you know, cordyceps right. fungus like zombies. But mm-hmm. you know, just a sad dad game, and a sad dad game it was, but I think it was maybe the best sad dad game of them all. Yeah.
It's really good. It's
yeah.
Really
we're
good.
We're going to think outside the box and say that God of War was good, but yeah, no, that's that bullet point for me. I won't dwell on it too long. So your turn.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to add one because you mentioned it. I think it was, I don't remember what year it was. It was towards the end of the PS3. It might have been like 2012. I think it was 2012. And this was, they were starting to kind of wind down with like a lot of the PlayStation 3 stuff. You kind of knew something was coming, and during their big E3 showcase, like their big and one more thing was like they just like completely cut to black, and you just like hear these nature sounds, and then you get the first gameplay demo of The Last of Us, and holy shit, I had never felt more like, is this what video game like? It was one of those, like, every now and again you always like see a demo where you just like, holy shit, video games are on another fucking level. And that was absolutely that. I remember downloading that to my PSP and showing it to all of my friends fucking constantly. I remember just like, we had that downloaded on a friend of mine's PS3, and just people would come over and we would just watch that fucking trailer.
Yeah, no.
Like it was just intense and scary and really powerful in a way I did not expect. Like, I knew Naughty Dog was a good developer, but I never played the Uncharted games up to that point. The last thing I played of theirs was fucking Jack 3. So it was kind of a really interesting change of tone, and I remember like just sitting down and playing that game for the first time, and oh boy, that is an intro.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and speaking to your point of, you know, watching the trailer and being like, man, is this what video games are? Like, every time we get to the end of a console generation, I feel like, you know, the gloves are off and developers can pretty much make, like, they know what the PlayStation 4 can do. They know what the Xbox One S or X can do.
Yeah.
So they can really, you know, get every little bit of computational power, whatever it is, out of it to just give you like the most NPCs, or, you know, best graphical fidelity, or, you know, NPC AI, or whatever it's going to be. You know, so we're getting stuff like Cyberpunk, where it's like, shit, really? Like, that's going to be a video game that you can play, and it's not like,
I can do this.
It's not a fake movie? Video game that's on a TV show that's like, oh, that would never be a really video game. That's you know, it's crazy. And so, you know, The Last of Us was, you can look back as that sort of thing for that generation, and it's you know, interesting that we're going to get The Last of Us Part 2 as, you know, the sort of send off for the PlayStation 4, maybe in February if the rumors are to be believed. But
yeah, that seems kind of believable the more I kind of look into
interesting.
I'm ready for that game to make me feel nothing. Like, I'm ready to just be completely numbed over by all of the things that happened in that game and never feel good about myself again. Anyway, your turn.
So, speaking about feeling good about yourself, we're going to take you back to 2004 with what I think is the quintessential, like, one more thing announcement, which is Twilight Princess.
Yeah, you're right. This list would be really bad. This episode would be terrible if this was not.
I don't even like the video game The Legend of Zelda and the Twilight Princess. I don't think that game is very good, but I think that moment is one of those moments where, you know, a video game company shows that, like, hey, you know that thing you like about the thing we make? Well, we made one that's really like that. So here you go. Here's Twilight Princess. Here's Link. He's covered in dirt. He's got the sword. He's on the bridge. He's hitting the pigmen with it. Look at it. Look at him go. Everybody was losing their mind at the orchestral score that was going with it too. And like I said, I think it's that quintessential one more thing announcement that I think a lot of things today are kind of judged against. It wasn't the first one more thing, but, you know, I think that, you know, it's sort of the it's the thing that everything else gets measured against subconsciously, of just like, well, it wasn't, you know, 2004 with Twilight Princess, and, you know, Miyamoto didn't come out with a sword and shield while everybody screamed at him thank you or whatever. So
And like, looking back, like, I guess I never really kind of thought about that, but yeah, you never really heard of these big like press conferences being something that people want to watch. And this is something that like have surprises in them. And it was just very much like a, we sold this much this year. Here's this game. Here's Electroplankton. We brought a DJ for Electroplankton. But yeah, like it was just it's interesting to see that not only was that moment fucking awesome. And if you can go check out the YouTube video of it, mm-hmm. I recommend you do it with your headphones turned down. Cause it's fucking loud, but it's really neat to see that how much that's kind of inspired the show as a whole.
And Nintendo doesn't even do those live things anymore.
Right.
But, you know, I think Nintendo understands the internet and they understand that, you know, we're going to get those reactions because people are going to be recording it and it's, you know, their reactions to it. And it's just going to be just that much more hyped up. And it's I have a sort of other bullet point about bad moments and like mm-hmm. Skyward Sword was the opposite of Twilight Princess.
Oh, it sure was. It
looked cool in the thing. And then Miyamoto teleported on stage and he busted through like some paper or something. And then the Wiimotes didn't work in the theater. And everyone was like, oh, no, this is going to be a bad one.
Yeah, like everything leading up to them actually playing the fucking game looked really cool.
Yeah, but yeah, it didn't end up. It was sort of in that like Wii Music category of like, ooh, God, my time Jesus. Is being wasted. Yeah. No.
One of my favorite GIFs just ever is just that fucking drummer on the Wii Music demo, just hitting all those drums, just looking like an absolute moron. It's really, really good.
The power of the Nintendo Wii.
Right. I remember being like kind of excited for that, like before they demoed that, because I'm like, oh, cool, they're making a music game. That sounds really cool. Like I'm in band. This is going to be fun.
Oh, it's no, actually it's not. It's actually just it's playing bad. Pretend, really but bad. With a television pretending with you. Oh, OK.
Right. Oh, OK, great. I can do that with a CD.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I guess after that one, I only have one more, but if you have more, we can keep going.
I have two more smaller got time for, things that are bad moments.
Okay,
but
so I'll do mine. We can do those two, and then we'll just wrap it up.
Okay,
we'll
good, good, good. Good
note. How about that? So mine was whenever the PS3 was kind of getting really in the swing of things, I think it was the same year that Gabe Newell showed up. Whenever they had, I forget the name of the character and the name of the guy and the name of his position, but it was that like fake vice president they had in all of those commercials.
Oh,
where they like brought him out to do like this like weirdly inspiring speech that was just like, yeah, fuck yeah. And it was like really funny and just like a really cool moment. And then they just like completely abandoned that character like a year later. I thought that moment was neat because it was like this weird level of like, it was the first time that I like saw something that like this big corporation was doing that was like meant to be funny. I'm like, no, you guys fucking stuck this landing. Like you absolutely nailed it. Unlike a
Ubisoft my God.
Period. I thought that was really neat. And like, they understood that like, he's very popular and like those commercials were doing very well because they're genuinely funny and they're still pretty funny. Like the one where he's like, they're announcing like a PS3 price cut and he's just like, yeah, I've never heard of it. And he's just like talking to this fan who's like, no, I heard about this. And then he's just like, yeah, I've never heard of this. But he's like putting up giant signs everywhere around him that say the PS3 is now whatever the price it was. It's just really fun and like a weird way that you don't see a lot of these companies being anymore.
In general, like, I don't think anybody really wants to be advertised to, but if you're going to advertise to me, like, please make it entertaining or, you know, make it enticing for me instead of just like their commercials now are like some weird, like he looks like young Ben Kingsley and he's like, welcome to my store, which is a metaphor for the PlayStation store. We have an axe and a gun and you too can be the X-Wing pilot. Ooh, who wants to play on my machine? It's like, I don't care about this.
Yeah, like that dude is basically just the fucking merchant from Resident Evil 4. Like,
what
just
are you buying?
Less interesting.
Yeah, so so I kind of hinted at it before, and I'm actually interested in what you think about this sort of genre of E3 things. Is the planned flub or the planned technical snafu. A theory, and I don't know if it's true, that Uncharted 4 crash that happened at E3, they loaded in a city after a cutscene, and it just froze on Nathan Drake for a while, and they had to reboot the demo to right there, and then it played just fine. And there is like a theory that was on purpose to like show that it was real gameplay and make people believe it more and to be more impressed with their demo and have more, you know, that sense of believability that, oh, this isn't just somebody pretending to play. This is real. This isn't this isn't a target they're trying to hit. They're hitting this target. So I'm curious if, like, maybe not this one in particular, but do you think companies ever are like, yeah, we're going to get this really awkward guy and he's going to say something. They know teraflops or they know their RPGs from their NPCs or whatever the fuck. do you think that kind of stuff is planned to be like memeable, or if it's like, oh, we want to engender a sense of, you know, hey, we're just people just trying up here when it's really just a CG trailer?
I think it kind of depends. Like, I think a lot of it just depends on what exactly is happening and like the situations kind of around that. Like, if you look at the Ubisoft bit where Aisha Tyler interviewed that guy and like told him to pitch a meme.
Oh my God.
Like, no, I don't think that was planned.
I think Aisha Tyler just didn't know what she was doing for that moment.
That was too awkward to be planned. But I think like there's been talks of like sometimes devs will have like just videos of gameplay demos ready to go in case something crashes, or they just play that and like hold a controller on stage. Like, I think that stuff does happen to an extent, but I mean, you also don't see a lot of people, really anybody, doing live demonstrations of gameplay anymore because just so much can go wrong.
Well,
so I think it
really
this depends,
year there was
know?
A lot of not a lot of but you know Bethesda and Xbox I think both had like, look, we're streaming a game right now, here comes Chelsea with her controller hooked up to her phone, she's playing Doom right now. It's like, is she though? I don't know. I don't believe in the streaming future yet, but we'll see.
Yeah. Like that's a weird thing to try and also show on the stage. Like, okay, cool. That's not like my home environment. That's not like my commute to work where I can just like use my mobile data to do it. It's cool. Maybe you just played a YouTube video with an Xbox.
Yeah. And so
for
every, you know, Uncharted 4 where, you know, maybe that is real and it was a real crash and, you know, it's not a fake gameplay thing. For every one of those, there is arguably a Killzone 2 where it absolutely was entirely fake and never ever looked that good. I remember downloading that trailer onto my PSP, I think, and
hell yeah,
and solidarity, and pretending to play it as a younger kid in public, like, oh, look at the cool game that I have that you can't play.
Until you like accidentally hit circle and then it just kicks you
back
out to the XMD.
Like, I would use that trailer in Windows Movie Maker and make like, I would see like what like music sounded good behind it and everything. I was like so hyped on it. So
you were on some like Naruto AMD.
Yeah,
bullshit.
Let me tell you. No, it worked on me, I guess, because I was like super, super hyped on that. I mean, I guess I never really bought the game, so I guess it didn't really work, but I was hyped for it, but it's like looking back, it's like, hey, you did a lie. You did a bad lie. I know.
What the fuck you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Are you trying to sell
lying
me something?
To us about your video game.
But yeah, no, that was my last little thing of just like, you know, Killzone 2. And I don't think there's ever been, well, other than maybe Watch Dogs, the first Watch Dogs, I don't think there's ever been like an egregious like, oh, yikes, you guys, that was a big old fake that you did, huh?
Yeah, and I'm thinking Watch Dogs might have just been more of what they showed off was just so different from what it ended up being that it's kind of like hard to tell.
But like, you know, just a full CG, like big fake trick. Killzone 2 is one of those.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well,
that is all I've got.
Because I'm out of them. So. Cool. So, yeah. Hey, thank you, man, for coming by. I do appreciate it. Thank you for coming in last minute since we had some weird schedule stuff going on with my regular co-hosts where they're outliving their fucking lives.
No problem. It was my pleasure. And hopefully we can do this again. We have a couple of ideas for future episodes between the two of us.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking about like what we wanted to talk about this one. I'm like, this one seems like we could pull it together the fastest. So let's do that. So you want to go ahead and just take the opportunity to go ahead and plug your shit?
Yeah, I stream on twitch.television. I am Two-Headed Giant, so if you go to twitch.tv/Two-Headed Giant, I play a lot of Nintendo games, a lot of indie games that have sort of like a weird catch to them or a weird, you know, a weird spark to them. I play a lot of that stuff. I played the old Microsoft pinball game one time on stream.
Wait, fucking really?
Yeah.
Like that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. It's fucking
sometimes
game generation
I'll
right there.
You know, do what's called corrupting a game where I'll take a ROM and use a middleware software solution and mix around all the bits and bytes of it and try and make something new out of it. Sometimes we just watch commercials from the 90s. It's fun. We have a chat bot that can control my lights. We have a chat controlled soundboard. I have two dog cams. It's a fun time. Try to make
your dog is really cute. Anybody listening needs to go watch the stream because your dog is fucking adorable.
So twitch.tv/two-headed giant is where I'm at. And it's the same for Twitter and Instagram, just everything /two-headed giant. So
sweet. Awesome. Well, then that's going to really do it for us. I don't really have a closing script for this show either because we just kind of throw it together, if you couldn't tell. You can find me on Twitter at TheCamdyMan. That's nothing new. That's probably not going to change for a while. I'm probably going to stream soon, but I'll boast about it on my Twitter. Who fuck knows? Again, Nate, thank you so much for coming by. I do appreciate it. Yeah, and you guys have a good night.